This is a replay of Good Friday service. Please enjoy the worship music and message from Pastor Raff.
That are listening by radio, that God would bless them and minister to them as they worship with us and as they hear the word. If you have your Bibles this morning, I just want to read a few scriptures from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Let's stand this morning.
That's ouch.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I've lost my mic here. Thank you, Lord. Testing. Father, we just thank you today, Lord, that we can come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you today that we can call out to you, and we thank you for this day that you have given to us. So, Lord, just bless us as we have gathered together to bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Sing it. worthy of our praise, oh God. So worthy. Bless you, God. There's a place.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide.
Hallelujah.
Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down
at the cross.
I'm in.
for the memory of what you did for us, Jesus. The perfect Lamb of God put upon the altar of the cross to pay for us for all of the sins of humanity. Lord, only a perfect Lamb could do that. And you truly are that, oh God. We just bless you.
Body bound and dressed.
praise you, Lord.
Jesus Christ, I finger on your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death many times. I wandered at your gift of
exalted.
Oh, now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise. Once again,
I'm full of praise.
I'm full of praise. Once again,
once again,
and once again, I look upon the cross where you die. I'm humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life.
Thank you for the cross, Jesus.
Oh, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Let's sing thank you for the cross.
Oh, I thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross.
Were it not for you, O God, we would not be here today. We would not know your mercy. We would not know that you are a God who welcomes us into your family. We thank you so much for the cross that you went to willingly for us. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord.
Thank you for the cross, Lord.
you, Jesus.
Above all powers.
Above all powers. Above all kings.
Above all nature
and all created things.
Above all wisdom and all the ways of man.
You were here before the world began.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known.
Above all wealth and treasures of the earth,
there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified.
Crucified. Laid behind a stone. You lived to die. Rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the fall, and thought of me, above all,
crucified,
you were crucified, lay behind stone, live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the fall, and thought of me.
Amen. Can we give him a clap offering this morning? Give the Lord Jesus a clap offering. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to thank the worship team for leading us and guiding us and directing us. Someone has written on my notes. I get these written notes. I didn't write them. Somebody else wrote them. I'm suspecting it's my wife that wrote them. Is that true? It's Ray's birthday today. Is that true? Okay. He's 49. Let's wish him a happy birthday today, can we? Yeah, I get these notes all the time, even at home. I get notes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you know, we have some special guests this morning, Simon and Karen Wells. And why don't you stand this morning? We're going to just welcome them. Amen. Now, they have secrets. And I'll tell you why they have secrets. Because they were in the youth group I pastored. How many years ago is that? Too many. Simon says too many. That's got to be 30 years ago, at least 35 years ago they were in the youth group, and they knew me when I was single. So that's dangerous, folks. That's very dangerous. So if I see anybody talking to them for more than 5 minutes, I'm going to scurry you away. So they live in Kamloops, and they've made the trek to Creston to stay with us for the weekend, and we're so glad to have them. Praise God. Simon has got so many stories to tell me about Karen that we're going to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. So we welcome them this morning and pray that they will be blessed as they're with us this morning. Now, I think Kaylin has an announcement this morning as she comes, and she's bringing her laptop. It's a mute button, okay.
Hi, everyone. I'm here again to remind you about our upcoming musical coffee house, which will be on April 22. Yeah, there it is up there. April the 22nd. It's a Friday. We'll start about 6:30. Now, Debbie's not here this morning, but she would have come up here, and she was going to ask for people that would do some baking, so that we'd like some volunteers for baking for the coffee house. And I'm thinking some jam tarts would be nice, since this is going to be a music jam. I need the drum. Anyway, I really would like to know how many musicians are out there. I'm always up on the platform, and I don't really get to know you as much because I'm up here all the time. Can I see a show of hands? Who can play an instrument? Bob, I know you play the saxophone. Now, keep your hand up. Now, this is not... Now, there's a little piano player there in the gold-colored shirt. And, yep, over there, too. Now, who else is... Who plays an instrument? There must be more. Sylvia, of course, yes. Well, I don't see a lot of hands. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. And what do you play, sir?
I play the fool.
Ah! Okay. Well, we need one of those at the jam session. And the back row violin players. Hello, violin players. Anyways, this is not just for musicians. I want everyone in the congregation, if you can, to come out and make our first musical coffee house a success by hanging out. It's not a concert. You can socialize and eat and drink and walk around while the musicians will be in a circle playing their instruments and singing, and then you can all sing along. And what I forgot to mention last time was this is a coffee house, Christian music jam. So we're talking Christian songs, and you can find them in the folk genre and the bluegrass, country, contemporary, black gospel. They are country, did I say? They are everywhere. So that's my announcement. I hope to see you all. I'll announce it again next Sunday. And don't be shy to bring your instruments and come on out.
Amen. Thank you, Kaylin. And just a reminder of our Resurrection Sunday service at 10:30 a.m. Where did the musicians go? We're just going to give you a chance to move around and greet some people, and we're going to prepare for the Word of God. But we can just sing a song. Let's stand this morning, and let's just move around and shake somebody's hand and greet someone in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
okay if we can find a seat this morning. We know we could mingle for a long time. Praise God. If we could find a seat, that would be great. Pastor Raph, why don't you come and minister the word? God bless you as you come.
Thank you.
Looks like you're having a good time visiting. And that's a good sign. Can you still hear me? Okay, good. So we've been having a lot of technical difficulties lately. And I'm convinced that when we come under pressure like this, the sound people or pastors or the musicians, it's because God wants to do something special. And so if things go wrong, it's okay, because I believe the Holy Spirit is really going to move amongst us in a powerful way. I hope just that He would touch our hearts, because this is a service that's not like every other service. It's Good Friday. And one thing I want you to remember is today is Good Friday, but Resurrection Sunday is coming. In Israel, right now, at this moment, in all the homes throughout the country, they're celebrating the Passover Seder. And it is a joyous celebration, because it's a reminder of deliverance of the people of Israel. Amen. From captivity in Egypt. And it's such an amazing experience, because there's all these different objects involved in the Seder to be able to really have everybody get involved, and it to be very tactile, and it's an experience. And because the reminder is supposed to really touch the heart. And the father, who is usually the leader of the Seder, will ask a question of the family, and actually it's the youngest child will answer. And he'll say this in Hebrew. He'll say, "Ma mishtana halayla chazeh." And what is the difference about tonight compared to other nights? So as I was praying about this sermon today, or preparing it, I asked the Lord to really show me what to speak about. And this thought came to my mind: what is different about a service on Good Friday? A lot of times, it's very somber. We remember the death of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The gruesome horror, the pain, and it's sobering. And just like during a Passover Seder, there is a time for remembering, which is also somber, because the people of Israel suffered horribly under Pharaoh, under the slavery that he had them under. So it's a time for remembrance. Good Friday service is a time for remembrance and a time for telling. In a Seder, there is a telling, and it's called the Haggid, where they read through the Exodus story. And it's very much participatory. So they want lots of participation. So they'll have different people in the family or the guests that have come to read. So I'm going to call upon some of you. No, I'm just kidding. Had I been ahead of the game, I would have done that. But I actually asked Sylvia to help me read through Mark chapter 15. So she's going to read a portion, and I'm going to finish. please listen and open your hearts to the Word of God, because it's so important that God's Word really speaks to you about our Lord's sacrifice.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man named Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "Well, what shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. And then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to take the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see which each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Thank you. At noon, darkness came over the whole land, until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to him to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes and rescues him." With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who came up from him to Jerusalem were also there. The burial. It was preparation day, and that is the day before the Sabbath. So as the evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who is himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he already was dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus has already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut from the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, sat where he laid. This is the telling. We know that in the Mark account, it's a little bit more concise. So there's some details that we know about what happened to Jesus that aren't necessarily recorded there. You know, there was a lot of things that happened prior. Jesus had his Passover meal with his disciples. He indicated that he was going to be betrayed. They drank the cup together. They ate the bread. From there, they went to the garden. And Jesus said, "Watch and pray, because I'm burdened." And he was about to enter into the travail of his soul. And remember how he sweat like great drops of blood at that time. He was so being crushed, yet his disciples were asleep. From there he was arrested. And brought to the Sanhedrin. This was a journey that happened from the garden to the cross, and then, of course, to the grave. And in the process, apathy came from the disciples. They had walked with him, they had talked with him, they had heard him, they had learned from him, they had loved him. He loved them. Yet in the end, they abandoned him. They slept when they should have been praying. He was betrayed by a friend with a kiss. He was accused falsely. He had trials that were illegal. He was condemned by the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, who knew supposedly the scriptures, but could not see. He was mocked and ridiculed. He was examined by Pilate, Herod, and Pilate again, humiliated. He was flogged and beaten and forced to carry his own cross. Until exhaustion and traumatic stress took over. He was in shock from what he had gone through. He could go no further. And then he was crucified. And it was a political charge that it ended up being, is because he claimed to be a king. And the Sanhedrin used this instead of what they actually wanted to charge him with, was being the Son of God. But it's the only way that they could get the Romans to crucify him. By making him to be a traitor against Rome. And this is what he really died for. That's what it said on the placard. King of the Jews. It was a statement that was supposed to mean he was in direct opposition to Rome. But the real reason was because of who he was, who he is. And to the Jews, to those leaders, this was blasphemy. Why is this different? Why is this service different? Because we have to come, the body of Christ have to come face to face with the cross in a way that's ugly, that's graphic, but at the same time is beautiful. Every message that is preached from the pulpit should in some way have the gospel. But tonight or today is a time where we have to come face to face with our own hearts. We have to come face to face with our blessed Savior that died and suffered for us as well. It's our object lesson. Because remember what it says in Romans 5:6, while we were yet helpless, Christ came at the right time and died for us sinners. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. We're implicated in the whole thing. The cross puts the ugliness of sin on full display. Pride, envy, jealousy, lust for power, greed, betrayal, blasphemy, cowardice, murder. We're all manifested. Probably some more that I missed. Through the Jewish authorities, through the Romans, and through the disciples themselves. Passover has special songs that they sing to remind them. Do you remember the song that we sing on Good Friday? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Can you identify when the disciples fell asleep when they should have been praying? Can you identify when Peter lopped off the ear of the temple guard in trying to protect the Lord, but doing exactly the opposite of what he was taught by the Lord? Can you identify with that? With hearing the truth of God, you're doing the exact opposite. Yeah. Can you identify with Peter denying the Lord, yet swearing up and down, it's not going to be, I'm not going to deny you, I'm going to follow you. Yet our actions, our words, or our lack thereof, deny him. This is a time where we all have to come face to face with that. Where were you when they crucified the Lord? Were you there? I was, because I can relate to these things I just talked about. I know we all can. Before we were even believers, when we came face to face with God, the Son of God, who made that declaration, how did we respond? Did it make us, did it send us into a blind rage like the Pharisees? Who are you to challenge my own sovereignty? I'm not going to bow down to you. You're not the Son of God. I am my own God. Or I know better. See, the biggest thing I think the church has to face as well is when the Son of God challenges us in our own religiosity. That's the hardest thing of all. Because we think we know better. But he is the Son of God. He is the Lord of the church. This is his church. And we come to the cross, we have to face that. But remember, we don't have to stay there. Because it's Friday, Good Friday, but Resurrection Sunday is coming. The cross puts the ugliness of sin on full display. In Mark 30:33, it says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And 34 says, At 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was darkness that came suddenly. Perhaps it was a sandstorm, but it was a sign of the judgment of God that had come. In the Exodus, do you remember the plague? The last plague before the death of the firstborn? Darkness came upon the land for 3 days. And after that darkness was the death of the firstborn. On Good Friday, we remember the death of God's only begotten Son, who he was well pleased. Before, it was a judgment on Egypt. Now, it was a judgment on God's only begotten Son, who he was well pleased. Pastor Ripley read this earlier. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. On Passover, 4 cups of wine or juice are taken, and the 3rd cup is called the cup of redemption. Prior to his death, Jesus took the cup, as we're told in Luke 22:20. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful inauguration of a new covenant. We're going to be sharing that later. Amazing love. How can it be that my king would die for me? Psalm 22 puzzles a lot of the commentators because it sounds like God has abandoned his son. But there was something going on. No, not everybody understands. But some would interpret Jesus crying out that psalm as a psalm, as a sign of victory. I like that. But make no mistake, the judgment of God had come upon him through his sacrifice and through his blood being poured out. Did he feel the absence of the Father at that moment? We don't know. We know he was in pain. We know he was a suffering servant. We know that he turned to the Word of God in his worst moment when darkness came upon the land. Was that the cup of God's wrath upon him and he felt alone? I don't know. But one thing is he suffered God's judgment so we wouldn't have to. Amazing love. Psalm 22 further describes in such great detail what it was like on the cross. I'm poured out like water, the psalmist writes. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. During his suffering, Jesus was experiencing slow asphyxiation that occurs during crucifixion. And the hours that we're talking about here, he was under God's judgment. Sin was being judged. Because he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21. In Mark 15:37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. In John 19:30, he adds, and he received a drink of sour wine from a sponge on a hyssop branch, and he said, do you remember? It is finished. It is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The blood of God's own spotless lamb was shed once and for all. When Passover was instituted by God, the blood of the Passover lamb was shed and covered one family. During the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, the goat that was killed, its blood was shed, was to cover the sins of the nation of Israel for 1 year. But the blood of the Passover lamb brings complete redemption, atonement, forgiveness, healing, restoration. It is finished through Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we're experiencing Good Friday, but Resurrection Sunday is coming.
Thank you.
Because through that, we have eternal life as well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
In verse 38, in Mark, we hear that the veil of the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. These veils that we're talking about were 60 feet high. And they were about as thick as a hand. And it took 300 priests to be able to move it and manipulate it around. It couldn't be ripped by just an earthquake. This was a supernatural act of God. And you know why God ripped that veil? Because he was opening the way to the presence of God.
Amen.
It was that important to him. This is the one thing that you find in the gospel here that is emphasized. God wanted to have relationship again with his people. Not just one, not just a nation, but beyond that. Expand it completely. That's how important it is. That veil, that barrier, be gone.
Amen.
Only through Christ's sacrificial death could that happen. The supernatural act of God. Powerful. Are you hearing it today? God wants to have relationship. God loves us. And he gave everything to restore it. What was once hidden, the place of the mercy seat of God, could only be approached once a year by the high priest alone, who could never enter if he was unclean, according to the word of God, or he'd be struck dead. A holy God opening the way for Jew and Gentile, and all of us, that through the death of Christ that we have that access. In Hebrews 10:19-22, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence in the most holy place, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," listen, "a new and living way is opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near." Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing this morning? Allow the word of God to just touch your heart this morning. This marked the end of the Levitical priesthood. Caiaphas, the high priest, was now, as far as God was concerned, defunct. You're gone. He's gone. And replaced by the Son of God himself, the rightful high priest. He'd accused Jesus of blasphemy. Yet it was him who was blasphemous as he condemned the Son of God to die. You're out of here. So when this centurion stood opposite him and he cried out, and Jesus cried out his last breath and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." The irony of this, The irony of this is this Roman centurion would have witnessed Jesus' horrific ordeal. He's not named. But as the veil was torn, the barrier to accessing the presence of God is now open to include the Gentiles. And he's responding right away.
Right.
This is a picture of the Word of God, the living Word that speaks of his death, the plan of God taking place, and the veil supernaturally being torn, and the Spirit of God acting upon this centurion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't tell me that the death of Christ does not speak. Yeah. This is our message today.
Right.
And we need that boldness to be able to share, because it affects people, just like it affected that man. We don't know if he became a follower of Christ, but he's on his way, because he declared something that was denied by
Amen.
The very people that should have known.
Yeah.
It's powerful. The living God, the living Word of God being displayed through his death. That barrier being ripped. And that soldier saying what he said. To me, this is wonderful news. Because to me, it's a reminder that the gospel is active. We just have to be willing to share it.
Amen.
We have to be willing to tell it. It changes lives. There's more to the story. Because today is Good Friday, but Resurrection Sunday is coming.
Hallelujah.
It is a time to tell and remember. The story of redemption through the shed blood of our Passover lamb, who rescued God's people. It is a story. This is a story of amazing love. It's where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For he did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it through him.
Amen.
Amazing love. How can it be that my King would die for me? It's a somber time to remember, but also hopeful, encouraging, strengthening. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, O Passover Lamb, that you died for us. We thank you that you set us free by your sacrificial death on the cross. That you were willing to obey the Father's will, no matter what it took, no matter what you experienced, no matter how much you suffered. And you opened the way to the presence of God for all of us. It no longer was exclusive, but so inclusive, it's just amazing. It's an amazing love that you have given to us, that you have shown us. Oh God, may our hearts receive that. Oh God, may our hearts be changed to be able to go out there and witness this beautiful story, this beautiful truth. I praise you and bless you. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share together the story of your amazing love. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Raff, as we prepare for communion this morning. Let's stand this morning before we take communion. Let's sing this song. Here it is within me, because you died and rose again. Forsaken, I'm accepted. Alive again. Your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love can it be? Thank you for this day. Thank you for the message that we received and heard. And Lord, as we partake of communion, we are drawn back again to the cross, where we find forgiveness and cleansing. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And even as believers, we can find forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood today. We thank you for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that with his stripes we are healed. We thank you for all these things, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor today. Can somebody lift their hands and just praise him this morning? Can somebody lift their hands and glorify his name this morning in this house for all that he's done for us? Oh God, I thank you that we're not pocket people. Lord, we don't keep our hands in our pockets, but Lord, we lift them to you this morning. We lift our hands to glorify your name and to magnify your name, O God. Oh, David said, I will lift my hands unto the Lord who redeems my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We lift our hands in your name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. For I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I hope you're able to get those wrappers unwrapped. That in itself is a miracle. If you're able to do it within 5 seconds, that is a miracle. Praise God. Let's partake together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Let's sing it again. Praise God. And let's just praise him as we come to the end of this service. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
ask my wife to come and just close this service today in Jesus' name.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thank you because we sense your presence. We know you are in the midst of us, O Lord, because we are gathered in your name. And Father, we are so grateful today that we can call you Father, that we can be called your sons and your daughters. Father, that we can be part of your family. Lord, we are so grateful. We can't even imagine, Lord, the price that Christ paid for our sins. But Lord, with grateful hearts, O God, we surrender our lives to you to show our gratefulness, Lord, we walk in your footsteps. To show our gratitude, Lord, we bless others, O God. To show our gratitude, we shine the light of Christ for others to see, O Lord. Through the gratitude of our hearts, O God, we bring worship with all our hearts and strength and soul. So, Father, we give you thanks today. We are a testimony today that you are alive, O God. We are a testimony Amen. Today that you are real and you sit on your throne and you are glorious forevermore. We have hope in Christ Jesus. So we give you thanks today. And I thank you for all those who are here today. I thank you for all those who are listening through the radio program, oh Father. Lord, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is.
Just a little reminder, if you couldn't get the offering thing flipped over, there are classes during the week for that purpose. God bless you this morning. Take a moment to greet someone. Tell them that you love them today. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for our live Good Friday service. We would love to see you this Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship.
This is DJ Adam,
Sonia,
and Jude.
Have a blessed weekend and enjoy the beautiful sunny day.